I just want them guys to come back up here and testify again.
Amen.
Because I tell you, it changed my life last week. Just watching, when God does it, it's supernatural. And that supernatural transformation flows into everybody else that get to hear a heart that's transformed. Amen? Because there's nothing more powerful than a transformed heart. Nothing. And nobody on the planet, no person, no government, no machine, nothing will ever be able to change the testimony that they shared what happened to them. Amen? Because it's part of who they are. My salvation is the same way, and I'm sure yours is too, the day that you accepted Christ. People can argue all they want, but they'll never, ever tell me that my God didn't change my life in one moment, one night in Biloxi, Mississippi. I pray that yours is the same way, that they can bring a team of horses, they can do whatever they want. Nobody is going to change my mind on what happened to me in a moment with the King. And you know, I believe that God wants moments with us every single day. I don't think he wants a moment and then we try to figure everything out for the next 30, 40, 50, 60 years. I think that it's moment by moment that he wants to engage each one of us. And in those moments, everything changes. And those who went to Guatemala, every single one was changed to a certain degree. Everyone was changed. Some of them are still changing because their stomachs are still tore up. And they're still losing weight, even though they're back. But, you know, I just want to say thank you to those who went, for sacrificing your time, your finances, your bodies, to give it just so that people in another country would be strengthened, would be encouraged, would be known, would know the King of Glory. Thank you for those who prayed. I know there was a sheet went around and people were praying different hours. Can I tell you, we need that every time we go out of the country because it's powerful and it changes. And thank you for those that sowed. Everyone in here, whatever you gave, little or much, it doesn't matter. But for those who gave, I want you to know it went into the kingdom and it was used for the expanse of that kingdom. Every penny that came in, some of it that came in, is even going to go because we're going to send some to Iraq and some to Egypt and some to India because these guys are hurting. They're hurting. They're still locked down over there in these countries. They can't get out. The pastors in India, I got a letter from Pastor Sudhir Mahanty, and he's in Vishakhapatnam, India, over there that we worked with for years. He's preached here, and we've gone there. And the pastors, the way that they make, the way that they feed themselves is they go from house to house around the villages preaching the gospel, and everybody gathers families into these houses. And they're out, the ones that are out in the bush. And so that's how they make a living. That's how they feed themselves and their family. Well, the government has locked it down, and they're not allowed to go house to house because of COVID. These guys can't go anywhere, and they have nothing else to sustain them. So what they have to do is they have to sneak through the middle of the night to come and see Pastor Mahanty, and he gives them something in order to sustain them, and then they have to sneak back out at 2 a.m. because if they get caught, they'll be beat or they'll be imprisoned. This is how bad it is in other countries. You know, God has blessed us. Amen? And it's the same in Egypt, the same in Iraq. The lockdowns, what they're doing to people is just so ungodly. And it's destroying people's lives by the thousands. In Vishakhapatnam, just in the city where Pastor Mahanty is, I know I'm going to get the number wrong, but it's somewhere between 45 and 90 pastors have died just in the city. And so they need a lot of prayer. And whatever we can send, we're going to in order to help sustain these guys to preach the gospel. You know, and here in America, we have, you know, some that are upset or not preaching the gospel. The church is shutting down just because they were upset or they were mad or there wasn't a lot of people that came. And so churches closed during the pandemic. My prayer is that we would find any building that's unoccupied. If we got to break a window to get in, whatever we got to do, and just start preaching the word in all these churches again. Because if the word of God is preached and prayed, then it'll grow. Amen? It's all we need. So thank you to everybody, and thank you for every single one that's saving their money for the next trip. Because if you haven't been on one, I don't care how young or old you are, it is amazing to get out of the country. It's amazing, and your eyes are open. And so blessed by everybody that came back. And, you know, from a leadership perspective, and from a pastoral perspective, or like a father perspective, watching each team over the years just meld together. Because you watch the little, you always have them, right? Why? Because your kids go. And they got it honest, all right? Now, and the adults do the same thing, but you see that in the beginning, and everybody, and then all of a sudden, partway through, everything starts to meld. And even though there's differences, there's one goal in mind. And you know, this morning, I want to remind you of the one goal in mind. You have one. But in order for there to be one goal in mind, one person has to have preeminence in our lives. Amen? It's got to be only one thought process. There cannot be 1,000 different thought processes in the body of Christ. There can only be one, and his name is Jesus Christ. Everything must stem from that. So to watch the teams meld in a short amount of time, and it's amazing that when you take away everything that everybody is used to, everything starts to change, and everybody now is on equal ground. When they go for the first time, nobody knows what's going on, and everybody is a little bit nervous and stuff, and they're trying to figure out what to do. For those that are seasoned, they've been on them a bunch of times, and they know that God works everything out. We never have to worry much. Even when we were going down in a 3-hour ride to JFK, ended up being 6.5 hours because of the flooding and everything else, they delayed the flight 3 hours, and we ended up on it. So we are, let's see, we're 23 years. We have a perfect record of not missing a flight leaving for a mission trip. So that's a good thing, you know. God always makes a way. We didn't do it. We thought we were going to miss it. It was the first one in 23 years, and then all of a sudden it got delayed an hour. Shoot, okay, we still got to figure out a way. There was no way. Everything was flooding and accidents on the top of George Washington, the lower deck of the GW. Accidents took forever. And but we got there, and we got on a plane, and we got in late, and we got less sleep, but we got it done. And that's the key, amen? Because sleep's overrated anyway. And I got another letter, and I want, it's so imperative to remind everybody. I got another letter from Greg this morning, and you know, I just wish that I could express everything that he said while we were in the truck driving up and down a mountain getting sand or blocks or cement, whatever we were doing. And then again today, he texted me and he said he just was so thankful for our team. We were the last team in 2019 to go to Guatemala. That was the last one that they had for their mission organization. And this year, we were the first team that's come back since the pandemic started because most churches are afraid to go down there. And back in January when we planned it, nobody knew what was going to happen. Nobody knew if we were going to be locked down or if they're going to make us, you know, get passports or whatever. But we just said, you know what, let's just trust God and let's go. But I want you to know, for those that went, their family was so encouraged, so lifted up, so built up, and such joy. He was giddy in the truck when we were talking a couple of times just because the teams were back. A lot of work got done. People's lives were changed in the mountain and on our team. And that's what they live for. Because Greg does most of it by himself. When he's up in the mountains, he's driving all the time, going to different churches and preaching. And he's going by himself a lot of times. He's got a smaller team down there. And be praying for him too, because his one daughter is at Hillsong. She's studying worship over there. And his other two daughters are leaving for California next month. So it'll be just him and his wife down there. And all of his kids will be gone. He says, I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but we're going to watch God do the miraculous in the midst of it. Amen? So this morning, you know, as we look at the Word of God, and I just wanted you to know that, or I just wanted to, the thought, and that is preeminence. What has preeminence in your life? What is it that's consuming, controlling, and preeminence? It means having the first, highest, chief, and best place in a position of ascendancy over everything else. It means having the first, the highest, the chief, and the best place in a position of ascendancy over everything else. How many of us have tried for preeminence in everything? How many want to be chief, want to be first, want to be the best, want to be the boss, want to be what everyone else desired or whatever it was in a relationship, whether it was male or female, either side, wanting preeminence, where in that relationship, I have to be the one. And so many times, in whether it's working or your business or in sports or whatever it is, or in business, whatever aspect of it is, everyone is striving for preeminence. Every single one fights with it at certain times. The enemy started in eternity, right? When he tried to overthrow God in eternity. He said, I'm going to have preeminence. He's got a third of the angels, and he said, we're going to overthrow him, and I'm going to sit on his throne. He wanted preeminence over everything. He wanted to be the chief. He wanted to be the one in charge. He wanted the highest or the best position or place. And this is what our pride will always try to fight for. And you will always have to subdue your pride every day of your life in order to give him preeminence. Because our flesh always screams for it, doesn't it? Some scream for preeminence when it comes to the clicker on the television. Some say, I'm in charge, and then there's a fight for it. I remember when we were kids, you used to have to get up, you know, and turn the knob on the television. And ours came off, and so I would go up and turn it to what I wanted, and I'd steal the knob and run through the house. And my brother and sister would chase me. It was pre-clicker. You would take the control knob, and they would chase me around the house, and my sister would inevitably trip me in the kitchen, and my brother would jump on my back and beat me and then take the knob from me, and then we'd watch something else. But it was always fun to try to get my way and to watch what I wanted, but it was painful when it didn't work out. And can I tell you that it's always painful when you don't give him preeminence? It's always painful when you don't give the Lord preeminence in everything. Because is there anything in this world that you have found that fulfills other than Jesus Christ? Is there anything else that you've given preeminence that fulfills? So one time, that brand new truck, the first time, or car, or motorcycle, or whatever it is that you always wanted as a kid, you finally got it, and it didn't fulfill. Because it couldn't have preeminence in your life. Nothing that man makes can have it. You know, in military terms, having preeminence, it means being able to go anywhere, do anything without opposition. It is overwhelming, unrestricted, absolute authority and power. You can go anywhere, do anything without opposition. Have we given God that kind of preeminence in our lives? Is there every area of our heart that we have allowed him into without holding anything back? Is there any thought process that you have that has preeminence over him coming in and having full authority to walk in and say, according to my word, this is what you've been called to do? And one of them is make disciples. Tell your neighbor, say, that's for you. Right? Because he said that's what he came for, so that we would make disciples. Amen? He called each and every one of us to make disciples. Is there an area in your life where you say, that's not for me? Because if there's an area where you say, I'm not doing that, that's not my gift. Yes, it is. Everybody has a gift to love someone else. Amen? Into the kingdom. Everyone can study the Word of God and teach. We have books that you can walk down through. We're making more so that you'll be able to walk anybody down through it. But if we make a decision to say, I'm not going to disciple, there's an area where you said, God, you don't have authority in here. You don't reign and rule in preeminence in that area of my life. I love quietness. I used to get nervous when it got quiet. But now I realize that people are thinking when it gets quiet. And you know what? We need to think. Is there any other area that the Word of God says? Listen, he said, come before me with a joyful noise. Is there an area where you will, where you, when you come to church, will you not sing? Because if that's true, then that's an area that you're saying, Lord, I'm not giving you preeminence here because I don't think you gave me a good enough voice. He did give you a good enough voice. Your voice is good enough to say, I want that. I want that. Get out of my face. Your voice is good enough for all of that. And you know what? It's good enough to sing unto the King. Amen. But we're going to have to give him preeminence in that and not hold back. In the scripture, obviously, Colossians 1:18, it says that in all things he should have preeminence. If he doesn't have, he should have. Because there's no way to argue that with God. Can we all agree on that? Right? Any area that you're holding back, you lose the argument with God. It's just that simple. He doesn't lose. He knows what is best. Right? We sang that. All that he is. More than I could ask or think. Your future is so incredible that you can't even imagine how good it's going to be. Can we agree on that one? Because that's what the scripture says. Amen? But we get to live in that greater future now if we'll give him preeminence in everything. If we give him, as the military term says, if we allow him to go anywhere. And you know how sometimes he likes to go places in your life and he uses people? Okay, so me and Jeff, he does. Jeff's got issues, all right, but we're praying for him. But when God uses other people to go into places that you don't want them to go to, don't we get bothered by that? And we start to justify. Who do they think they are? Well, they're not a tool of Satan, as sometimes you've accused them of being. They're not one just trying to stir up trouble or try to start trouble or get all up in your grill. No, it's God wanting to reach into an area that you said, Lord, I'm opening it up. I'm opening it up and I'm giving you preeminence in every area of my life. There's nothing. I want to be an open book, Lord, when it comes to worship. I want to find out what your word says and I'm going to do that. You have unfettered access into that area of my life through your word. And I will not withhold. I will not hold back any longer if I can find it in your word. The way that I'm supposed to love my brother. Lord, whatever your word says, I'm going to do that. Not if they didn't hurt me that much. Not if they didn't abuse me, then I'll love them. Not if they didn't steal something from me. Not if they didn't blow me off when they were supposed to give me a ride to work. Whatever it is. There can't be any of those ifs, because if he's going to have preeminence, whatever his word says, then we're going to come in and we're going to love one another that way. Amen? We're going to have to love one another in the midst of everyone's failures. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I failed you, I know it. Tell your other neighbor, say, if I haven't, I will in the future. Okay? We're going to fail one another. It's okay. It's okay, but then if we're going to give him unfettered access, he says that we're going to have to forgive. Amen? You have to forgive. Tell your neighbor, say, I forgive you already for failing me in the future. Come on. Well, who said no? Who said no? Oh, even in the house of God Almighty. Isn't that amazing what the flesh says and how we ponder and think in our own minds? That no matter what, there's still a part of me that's got to reign in preeminence. I've got to control certain areas of my life because then I won't get hurt. Got quiet again. So we've all done that one. Because everyone backs away at times. And sometimes we have to pull away a little bit just to heal enough to be able to respond in righteousness. Because sometimes when we get stung, we have to pull back Go back to find out what the Word of God says on how to respond to that problem properly. In other words, giving him preeminence in that, unfettered access, all authority, not holding back, not saying, Lord, I would, but. Lord, I'd love to serve you, but I just don't have the money. Lord, I'd love to go on a mission trip, but I just can't get the time off of work. Lord, I'd love, we always have the buts. We always have them when we draw back and we tell him he can't have preeminence in certain areas. But I believe that what God wants to do through us and in this time and season in America is he's looking for the church, the ecclesia, because it's not about rock solid church. Can we all agree on that? Right? You are the called out ones, right? The ecclesia. So we're not steeped into a church. We're steeped into or saved into the kingdom of God. We all know that, right? We've heard it enough. So it cannot be about what only rock solid church does, because each one of you have gifts and talents. Can we agree on that? And when God has unfettered access into your heart and into your mind with the Word of God, then no matter where you are, it's not about getting them here. Because if they live up on the mountain on the other side of the river, we plug them into a church up there. If they live down in Kingston or they live up and on, we just find a place to get them plugged into. Why? Because we want them to flourish where they are and be a part of local church, so that they learn to give Jesus Christ preeminence in everything. So it's not about a church. This is just where we get trained and equipped, and this is where we get sent out of to go do the will of the Father. And that's all. So our job as the called out ones are to give him preeminence in every thought. Some of you, I can tell by the looks on your faces this morning, you got some bad thoughts towards me. I could see it. Oh, yeah? Jack? It's not my name, by the way, just so in case you're wondering. Preeminence is revealed in some of the titles of Christ. He's not just the king. He's the what? He's the King of Kings. Amen? He's not just the Lord, but he's what? The Lord of Lords. He's not just one of many paths to the Father, but he's the way, the truth, and the... And how many ways is there to the Father? Only one, and that's through Jesus Christ. I think I heard somebody say none, but I think we'll have to, we'll work on that, all right? In John 14, 6, he declares that no one comes to the Father, no one, except by me. And there's a lot of preachers out there that are saying there's other ways because they don't want to offend anybody. I don't care if I offend you by speaking what the Word of God says. I will never care if that offends you. It offended me when I first got saved, and it will offend every believer. And they say, well, that's a very narrow scope. It's exactly what the Word of God says and what the Father has decided. The clay does not tell the potter, this is how it will be done. I'm going to take my own path towards the King. We give him and his word preeminence. Amen? You know, many people today, they consider that exclusivity and intolerant. I am intolerant. I'm intolerant of lying. I don't like lies in my house. I didn't like lies when my children started lying at the age of, I don't know, when did they start talking? Oh, you all have kids too. Okay, so we know they're little flesh creatures, right? And they just do what's fleshly and what's natural. And then we train them, we help them, we encourage them with sticks and spoons and whatever else we can find. But we encourage them not to lie. We're intolerant of lying, getting lied to from our children. Amen? And why do we all understand that. And when it comes to the Word of God, oh, that's intolerant. You're so narrow-minded. No, I'm pretty broad-minded because God will forgive you of all of your sick, nasty, dark, twisted, disgusting sins. That's pretty broad, isn't it? That everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ has access into the throne room of God. Who does that? Who comes to your house and says, hey, I believe that this is your house and everything here is yours. Can I take your truck? Exactly. But God comes in and there's nothing he withholds from us. Amen? We come into his kingdom and everything he has is open for us. All of it. The most powerful entity on the planet, the Holy Ghost, he said, I'm going to give it as a gift to you. We're going to walk in that power all the days of our lives. Preeminence is connected to centrality. And that's giving that position. You know, the sun is the center. They used to think that the earth was the center, right, of our universe years ago. And everything revolved around the earth. And then they found out the sun doesn't move. The center doesn't move. Preeminence can't be many things. Preeminence is one thing, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's got to be. It cannot move. Because when it moves, we get off track. Can we agree? Right? Every time we give something else preeminence in our lives, it's going to take us on a road, on a little dirt road and getting off. And we're going to have to figure out, how in the world did we get out here? My goodness. And when we were driving in Guatemala, on the way up, Greg gives us directions. And he was like, yeah, you remember, just go up there. When it comes to a Y, just stay to the left. And then the next one, take a right. I'm like, well, okay, that's easy. So me and Jay was my co-pilot. I don't think he listened to the directions very well. The co-pilot's supposed to keep you right, you know. So we're driving. And we're driving up this road, and it's going up a mountain. It's a dirt road, and we're just driving along, and we come to the first T. Well, he said, go left, so we went left. And then he said, when you get to the next one, go right. And we go up there. We go to the next one, another mile or so up this dirt road, up a mountain, and we go right, and we're driving up through there for a while. Nothing looks familiar. I have no idea where we are. Well, let's go back down to where we were. Pastor Paul, he's following too, and he's like, you have any idea where you're going? Nope. No clue. I know he said go left and then go right. So we go back down to where we started and let's take a right. Maybe he said go right and then go left. All right. Why not? We're on a mission trip, right? You never know what's going to happen. So we go right and we drive for a mile or so and then we take a left and we're driving up through this mountain. It's like, does this look familiar? Nope. Nothing looks familiar. Have you seen the church? Nope. How about the school? No, I haven't seen anything that I remember. So we come back down. We're coming down. I was like, hey, Greg, you said go to the first tee and take a right, and then or the left, and then the next one go right. No, that's not what I said. Well, tell us again what you said. He said, no, I said when you're going up the trail. Maybe I didn't say it right. He said, see, he speaks Guatemalan. I speak American, right? He said, when you're going up the road and it goes to the left and then it goes to the right. He was talking about curves in the road. He'd been in Guatemala too long. He come out of Ohio. That's another problem. But, you know, I said, what? He said, go back down to the blacktop. That's 4 miles. We got to go back down the hill. We go back down to the blacktop. We go up and then there it was. It was maybe a quarter mile off the blacktop. We were 8 miles up in the mountain, two different directions. And it's so like our lives, because sometimes when you get off, you're off here and you're not sure. I mean, it's a nice ride, right? You're enjoying yourself for a little while. It's like, we're not accomplishing anything here. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I missed something. And then sometimes you got to come all the way back down to the blacktop before we can start off again. We got to go back down to that last place, like we've said before, that last act of disobedience. Or maybe it's that last place where we got an attitude and we started to go wrong. Or maybe it's that last place when God said, I just need you to do this. And we said, no. No. Other men and women in the Word of God have tried that. Jonah comes to mind. My road wasn't as long and it wasn't as wet as Jonah's. And it wasn't as smelly, that's right. But we got back on the track, what? When we listened to the voice of the one who knew. We're going to have to go back to that. Go back to the voice of the one who knows what is best for you and what he's got for your future. What he has got for my future. Because every time I got into a jam, it's because I took the right-hand turn. Well, I think this will work. Well, let's try this one. We have no idea. Let's give it a shot. And can I tell you, they didn't work. When we came back and heard the voice of the king, everything started to change. But he has to have centrality of everything, or he's got to be the central aspect of everything in our lives. The center is strategically important because there can only be one center. There's only one center. Whatever occupies the center of your heart will consume you. It's what you'll give yourself to. It's what you'll give your finances to. It's what you'll give your time to. It's what you will train your children to give themselves to. All of these things will happen. Whatever reigns and rules preeminent in you, whatever the central theme is in you, that is what will overshadow in your home. You know, one of the examples is the temple, right? We had the outer courts and we had the inner courts, and then we had the Holy of Holies. And that's the central place. That's where God, his presence dwells. That's where he wants each one of us. We're all invited, but how few step into that place? How many stay in the outer courts because of guilt or shame? Don't raise your hand. I'm just raising mine. How many times because you didn't do enough your works? How many times because you made a mistake, you stayed outside and you wouldn't go near the center. You wouldn't give him unfettered access. He says, come unto me, all you that are what? Weary and heavy laden. Right? You're trying to carry it. He said, I don't want you in the outer courts. I made a way for you to come to the inner courts, and then I made a way for you to come into the Holy of Holies, because I want nothing between you and me. I want every thought that you have erased that doesn't line up with my word. Every thought you have, I want it removed from your head. Every idea about who you are and what I've called you to do, I want it gone. And then I want you to agree with my central theme, my purpose, my preeminence in that area. I've called you, some to preach, some to teach, some to prophesy, some to be missionaries, some to open up their homes to many. Whatever it is, I've called you to this. This is what I want you to meditate on. What's the word that's been prophesied over you? Because many have been prophesied over in this room. So have you given that prophecy, the Bible says, to wage war with what? Prophecy, right? Whatever word's been spoken over, it's a battle to believe it. That's what he's talking about. You're going to have to give it preeminence. Oh, but you don't know, Pastor, it works for you, but it don't work for me. Listen, Earlton wasn't that special of a place. It was the center of our universe where we came from. But just because we came from Earlton, it's wonderful how Pastor Chuck Englehart, he's in Ravenna. Pastor Bob Englehart, he's up in Margaretville. And then I'm here. We all came out of Earlton, and so I'm really grateful for that. And most of it was, the reasons for it was for praying mamas that were believing for the miraculous in our lives. So we got to give honor where honor is due. Amen? But then there's got to be an obedience to the call. You see, and if we don't give obedience to that call, then we're not giving him preeminence in that area of our lives. We're saying, I know what you said, but this is what I want. So which want rules? Your want or his want? Because for eternity, as we said before, whatever you do, whatever you're spending your time doing, it's going to come through a wall of fire. Amen? Everything's going to be burnt. And everything that we do in the natural is going to be consumed in that wall of fire. And only that which we've done for the Lord will come out pure gold. Only what we've done for him. Only what we've done for him. My wants will be burned up. His will bring forth pure gold. But if we don't give him preeminence in that thought process, then we're going to spend our lives doing what I want rather than surrendering to who he said I am. Because who you are changed the day you got saved. Who you are changed the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. And we look at the change that has come, right? We've said it before. Kia didn't even like you guys before she got. She didn't even want it. She would never sit next to Tracy. Tracy, I don't want to do it with her. Listen, they don't do what they're told. But yet then the surrender came, preeminence of God's word came, people's lives started to be changed as she gave him authority into her life. The thing that she didn't want to do, she's comfortable doing now. She still doesn't like to do it a lot, but she's comfortable doing it now. Yeah, you might be able to sit on the right side, but the left side, she always keeps an empty chair normally. But I just want you to know, you start to change when you start to give him preeminence. You start to change when his thoughts become your thoughts, when his ways become your ways. That's what I want to do. Whatever he said, when we went to Guatemala, whatever they said to do, we did. And carrying them stinking stoves up the mountains wrecked me. I realized the kingdom of God is built on the back of the young, the scripture says. That's right. January will be 58. That's the end of carrying stoves for me. Just so we're all clear on anybody that goes with us on a mission trip, I ain't doing it no more. I carried my stoves and cement and blocks and everything else for the last 23 years. My knee still bothers me from coming down that stinking mountain with that stuff on me. So I want all you young people to sign up next time, especially young men that are strong. You don't have to know anything except forward. And carry this. That's all you got to remember, all right? God, he's so good. You know, many people are frustrated from trying unsuccessfully to get God to conform to their own idea of what life should be, of what our life should be. You know, they want love without obedience, blessing without breaking, gifts without fruit, scriptural promises without commands, salvation without discipleship, and a crown without a cross. And this is a lot of what's being preached in America right now. That there is no sacrifice, that there is no dying, that everything is about living however you want and watch what God does for you. I want you to know this is about you living what he has proclaimed over your life, what he's proclaimed over my life. Because then lives start to change for the kingdom's cause. Amen? This is what he's looking for. There is no crown without the cross. Without the cross of Jesus Christ, without that sacrifice, there is no salvation without that blood. But some, and we've said it a million times here, that is no longer we that live but Christ. Therefore, when we come and we enter, we start to give him preeminence. He has access to every thought, every heart issue, every area of your body. Everything you possess is his. Everywhere you go, he's created. Every gift and talent he's given you, and he's given it to each one of us for the purpose of expanding his kingdom, whatever it is. Even the little things. Even if you're just people that are just kind. Right? How nice is that to walk in and somebody gives you a hug and just says, hi, it's so good to see you. How hard is that? For some of you, it's very difficult because you've never said it to me. I'm only here because my wife made me come. Good to see you. That's what I get, or else I get them. You ever get that when you walk in? Hey, how you doing? Can't even say hi. I'm free in Christ. That's all you get from them. How nice is that? I was just talking to Miss Sherry. I think it was yesterday at the party or whatever. She just came up and she said, oh, hi, Pastor. Just gave me such a wonderful hug. Just another, a grandma hug. Grandma hugs are special, ain't they? And man, she just gave me a hug and said, oh, I just love you. I was like, I love you too, Miss Sherry. Thank you so much. Just don't let go. Hang on. Just hang on. Thanks. Okay, I feel good. It's all it takes. It's just being kind. But giving him preeminence instead of walking in and saying, who deserves my hug today? I have 7 kind words for the day. Who gets them? We don't say it, but that's how we act a lot of times. Oh, God, I give you preeminence in everything. 7. Don't push it, Jack. You're number 8. We'll see you next week, baby. No, we don't say that, but we act that. We act that when we come in. It depends on what they said to us, what our response is. It depends on how they treated us. It depends on if I know them very well. If we don't know them, ain't going near them guys. Who knows who they are? I mean, just look at them with their little beady eyes. I'm not going near that person. These aren't things that we say out loud, but it's what we act like when we don't give him preeminence, because everything that he is, you are. Amen? And all that they need, you have. Tell your neighbor, say, I got it all. Right? Because if you have Christ and the Holy Ghost, then you've got it all. There's nothing he has withheld from you. Everything you have need of, he has provided beautifully. I've got everything I need. Everything. And it has nothing to do with the natural. It has everything to do with the supernatural. Scripture says in Matthew 15:9, said, you know, according to what Jesus said, that these people are not worthy, the ones who love without obedience. You know, there's blessing without breaking or gifts without fruit. Scripture promises without commands, salvation without discipleship. Jesus said, they're not worthy of me. And preeminence has to start with the thought life. In Acts 5:42, and it says, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Every day, that's what they did. In Acts 2:42, it says they were continually devoting themselves, right? Continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and breaking bread and to prayer. Can I encourage you? I want to encourage you this morning as we step into another season for the ecclesia right here in Hudson. And that is, get here early and come in prayer. You see, if we believe that God hears and answers prayer, we'd never get out of there. We'd never leave the prayer room. But get here early and get into prayer, because that's where we pour out our hearts before the Lord. Art was praying this morning for the prodigals. How many need a prodigal to come home? How many in your family members, do you need them to come back to that place that they were? That's the prayers that were going up this morning. And then Matt joined in and said, yeah, Lord, let us be that ignition that happens to stir that heart to draw them back to the Father. You see, one prayer was, Lord, bring the prodigals home, because no one comes to the Father unless he draws them. Amen? But then when he draws them, what happens is we have a kind word. Even after we've used all seven, all of a sudden a prodigal shows up and number eight pops up. Hot dog, time to give another kind word. And to draw one of the prodigals back in so they can fulfill the promise of the Father. How many wish that the church or somebody would go talk to your prodigal and have a kind word for him? A faith-filled word for them. Maybe even open up their home towards them and say, hey, come and stay with us, because I see you've been out on the street. You're not living right. Everything is a wreck in your life. Come here. Come on into my home. And then we find out that they knew the Lord years ago. So our goal, if he's got preeminence, our focus is continually devoting ourselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking, and prayer. Colossians 2:9-15, I'm just going to read it as I close. It says, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me. I am the complete package. Come on, tell him. Tell him you're the complete package. Oh, yeah. See, because some people are still trying to figure out, am I complete? I'm not like her. I'm not like her. I'm not like him. I'm not like him. I don't have what they have. You're still complete because you have what he gave you. Amen? But some of the gifts that are inside of people, the Bible says that we're supposed to run this race with endurance, and we're supposed to beat that body into submission. Amen? So you're going to have to tell your mind, no, no, no. That's what I've been called to do. That's who I am, and agree with what God says. But it's going to take work on our part to agree that you are complete in him. And he is the head over all the rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God. God worked that out. God took you out of darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. Amen? You were dead and now you're alive. That's a good place to be. Dead's not such a good place to be. Alive is. Thank God we don't have to worry about the second death either. Who raised him from the dead? When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Tell your neighbor, say, yours are forgiven. That's if you've asked. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? Your sins are not forgiven. If you do not say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive him as my Lord and Savior, I repent before the King of Glory. If we don't do that, your sins ain't forgiven. And guess what? When you meet the Lord, you're not going to be a very happy person. You're not going to like what he says, because he's going to say one thing: depart from me, you foul and wicked thing. Gets quiet again. That's what he's saying to those who deny him. So many want to say, well, God's a loving God. He is. And he's a just God. And he said, you're not coming to me unless you come through my son. I gave everything that I had. You want to come to me? See him. You come to him. Grace upon grace. Mercy every morning. Beauty unimaginable. Washing and cleansing the deepest areas, the darkest places in your mind of the things that you have done where you don't want anybody to know. The horrible thoughts that you have thought that you don't want anybody ever to know about, Jesus comes in and he washes all of that. He's that good. And he said, my Father will never hold these against you because of the power of my blood. Now, I want preeminence in your life. This is what I'm going to do. This is all I'm asking. Let's take the rest of your life. Because just like I washed and cleansed you, just like I made you new, I made you whole, I made you something that nobody has ever seen, something so beautiful, so powerful, so mighty. That's what I made you into. Now, give me preeminence, because I want to take you places you've never dreamed of. I love going. Sometimes I'm in my room all by myself, or I'm walking around here early in the morning and I go places in my heart, in my mind with the Lord that I've never been before. Sometimes I just come in and he's so strong that I just fall up here and I just start to cry. I can't control it. I just weep and cry and start thanking the Lord, because it's so good where he's brought me. And I pray that you have those times of refreshing over and over and over again. But when we give him preeminence, guess what? He loves to give us times of refreshing. We get to live in that river if we want to. And that river is teeming with life. Anywhere you walk, that river is there. You walk in that river and it's teeming with life. Verse 14 says, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against you. All your debts are done and washed away. Yeah, but no! Yes, Lord. All my debts are done. Yes, Lord. All my sins are forgiven. Yes, Lord. I'm free indeed. Yes, Lord. He cut you off. Praise God. He stole one of your shovels. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, he's washed and your identity has been changed. And he's canceled out your debt, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Stand up this morning. Every single demon has been overthrown by the power of God. Amen? Right. You have the power of God living on the inside of you. Therefore, we're not those who say, I don't have authority over, and you write in the blank. You write in the blank. I don't know what you struggle with, and every one of us struggles in certain areas that we need Christ in. Amen? There's always maybe it's anger. You don't understand it. I just get angry. That's just who I am. What? Show me a scripture that backs that up. That's who you were. You were an idiot. Don't be an idiot now. I mean, come on. It's just anger. That's who I am. Everybody better get used to me. I got an addiction. That's just who I am. Wrong answer. He doesn't have preeminence in that area. We're going to have to give it to him and say, wait a minute, that's not who I am. My debt's been paid. Devil, you have no authority over me any longer. My God is God. He rules and reigns in authority over my life. Now all that I put my hands to is going to prosper. I'm no longer who you said I am, devil. Now I am a child of the King. And my freedom is in his word. And I'm going to agree with it as I renew my mind daily through the reading of it. Amen. Let's give him preeminence this week. Can we do something as the body of Christ this week? I know it's summertime for the kids. It's a wonderful time. At night, when you sit down, if you've never watched The Chosen, watch The Chosen if you're going to watch television. If not, don't watch any of the junk that's out there. Let's just take this week. It'd be nice to make a lifestyle out of it. But let's take this week, and only those things which are of him. Have somebody over for dinner this week and say, hey, let's talk about the things of God. Let me tell you about my job first. I don't give a rat about your job. If you don't have a job, get one. There's job signs everywhere. You could probably be a CEO of a company. Just walk in. You don't have to have any experience. Everybody's looking for workers. There better be nobody here that says, I can't find a job. I will bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have somebody over this week. Encourage them. Sit and talk about the word of God, what you've been reading, what you've been studying. Make sure you spend time in prayer. If you have another night, invite somebody else over. Spend some night just in prayer and in the word, just sitting there. Don't worry, you'll go to bed early. You'll be fast asleep in 20 minutes. I know what happens when you guys sit down after a hard day's work. Or you mamas that are chasing babies all over the place. It's like herding cats. You're everywhere at all times trying to get things done. You sit down for 5 minutes. I try to read, but I'm just so tired. One pastor, he had a hard time reading, staying awake reading the Word of God. So he went in the bathroom. And he stood on the edge of his tub reading. And he had to balance himself on the edge of his tub in order to stay awake. If you want to, you can. It's that simple, amen? But let's give him preeminence this week. Throw everything that you normally do, your normal routine, set it aside. Let's get into word, get in prayer, invite people over, talk about the things of God, and let's build the kingdom this week, amen? Your neighbors, be nice to them this week. Okay, hang on. I just prayed that you'd each have 10 words each day. We're all done with 7. We're going for 10 this week, okay? Every day, 10 nice words. We'll build every week. Find somebody to encourage this week. Can we do that? And give him preeminence in your heart because you are who he says you are. You are the man of God, the woman of God that he said. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are victorious in everything that you put your hands to. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always go with you. He'll always produce. He'll always provide. And he'll always make a way for you. Don't ever doubt it. The problem with the church is most people doubt it, so therefore all they do is go to church. Please don't come to church just to go to church. It's terrible. You know what that looks like when I stand before the Lord? Oh, you had a whole bunch of people that wanted to come to church? That's nice. It's not the account I want to give. I want to give an account. Hey, everybody did what they were supposed to do. Everybody believed that I was that good, that I was that mighty, that powerful, that loving, that gracious, that miraculous, that they all stepped out in faith. That's what I want to hear when I stand before God. That everybody that walked through these doors left here walking by faith and not by sight. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you, Father, that right now we give you preeminence. Father, help us to do a soul search. Lord, in our minds and our hearts, looking around, trying to and find an area. If we have not given you preeminence, Father, today we bow before you. Today we surrender to you. Today we say you have unfettered access to to every closet, every thought, every desire, every area. Father, we want to give you access and hold nothing back. You're the center of our lives. Everything we are and do revolves around you. We want to hold nothing back. And Lord, whatever it is that you're putting your finger on, you're so gracious and merciful that you remove it so fatherly, so tenderly, so gently. When we give it to you, you take it. You're not the one that mocks or says it's about time or any foolish thoughts. What you do is you remove it and you say, now you're free. Now you have a greater freedom in me. Father, let each one of us look and see. And if there's any area, we surrender them now. And I pray your blessing upon each and every one, Father, this week, that as they walk out of here, they walk out in faith, knowing that all of their enemies have been vanquished. You made a show of him openly. You mocked him before the whole world and said, you were wrong. These are mine. My blood is enough. The Spirit of God will overpower them to cast out everything that's out there. You will have no authority over them ever again when they walk in me. And Father, I thank you that as my brothers and sisters walk out of here, their lives are changed and everyone they meet today, for those that go to get a bite to eat, Father, that everyone they see is changed. I pray that we would look for that person of peace or look for that one that's got a broken heart and take a minute and go and just encourage and pray for them. Father, that we would expand the kingdom today and then every day. We would arise and say, I give you preeminence. Therefore, I'll arise early and get in your word and in prayer, giving you the first fruits of my morning. And then, when issues come, we'll respond in kind according to your word. Father, I thank you for the body of this morning, for you alone, receive the preeminence, the glory, and the honor today. We love you, we worship you, and we thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.